Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 96 of the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, Easy, and I'm joined by a man that wouldn't let me kiss his wife on the mouth for a joke, Patty B.
What? Okay. That's a way to describe that.
Hold on. I don't know how there's another way to describe it. I said, Patty, would you be mad at me if I kissed your wife on the mouth for a joke? And you said, yes, I'd be very mad. Like, not the joke is the kissing of your wife, but like, if the instance arose where like I could mess with somebody by kissing Shelby on the mouth, you would be upset if I did it.
Yeah, I don't know who you'd like.
I didn't say, like, I just wanted to know, like, I think that Nick and Joe are in the kind of friendship where that should not bug them. So, like, I was like, I don't know why you kissed her on the cheek. You should kiss her on the mouth. And I was like, Patty, would you be mad if I kissed your wife on the mouth for a joke? And then you were like, yeah, I'd be furious. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so this was a fictional situation. Spencer loves to present.
It wasn't even fictional. That literally happened to our friends.
I don't know. Man, like, it's... No. Nope. I'd still be mad. You, I like my wife.
It's so weird, because, like, you wouldn't care if I kissed you on the mouth for a joke.
Yeah, because I get to control my own...
She can control her own thing!
I know.
Yeah, I'm confused.
If she was in on it, I guess if she was in on it, then sure, but I don't know.
You know, what she is in on is fantasy football. We got asked this week in the Discord if we're doing fantasy football. And I was like, every year, baby. Every year we're doing fantasy football. I still got to send a trophy to Andrew. I have to. I got to send one over.
Yes.
Do we want
to have one that like floats and rotates?
Nah, we'll just send it. Nah, you gotta get your trophy and keep it.
I like it. I still haven't gotten... So I won my league last year. I still don't have my trophy for my league. Like, and I'm the freaking champ, so...
Yeah. Do you like trophies or rings better for fantasy football?
I like, for personally, championship belts. Like a WWE superstar.
I could look into
put that. It over the shoulder.
I could ask Andrew what he prefers between a trophy, a ring, or a belt.
Because they have smaller trophies, right, for personal stuff. The rings are cool. Rings are really affordable if you...
I don't know that I do... Like, have you seen the trophies that I give out for the CCMPG Opens? You have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know that I do...
I tried to win them.
I don't know that I do a trophy smaller than that.
Yeah, not they're not tiny. They're still like a pretty... reasonably sized, but like the one that we have for the league that I play in every single year with the car guys is pretty big as far as like it's got room to put like plates of the winner like around it each, you know, each year. So
nice. Let's not talk too much about fantasy football. We do have the San Andreas trophy. But if you want to join that fantasy football league, hit up our Discord. We usually try not to go above 10 or 12. Like 12, I think, is usually our max. But we will do a second league if we need to. We've done two leagues a few years back. But usually it's like one league of 10 or 12. So hit us up. Let us know. And then I'm giving up on the monthly game nights. Because we have other podcasts, and we are doing monthly Smash Nights in the Discord. The fourth Thursday of every month will be Smash Night, whether it be money matches, whether it be practice, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, jump in. Maybe I'll get Patty to come to my house so that he can play with us, just switching off, just really fun stuff. And then also, I'm adding our Switch giveaway to this podcast, too. Since it's mostly on YouTube that we care about here. So if you're a listener of this show or Smash Through on Easy Game Media on YouTube, once we get to 1,000 subscribers, we're going to give away a Switch. Maybe Patty, maybe you could win that. Maybe it'll make you eligible since you or your wife lost your Switch.
My wife did. Yeah, Huntington went over.
Yeah. It's a bad thing to lose.
That's all right. We'll get there. We'll get another one here. I'm in the middle of moving right now, and so, like, once we get all settled down and stuff,
maybe I'll sell you one like of a mine.
Switch will be.
I'll sell you one of mine. Miner. My kid doesn't need my. We don't need my other Switch. He plays it too much.
Is that so?
Yeah, he does. Actually, he's downstairs playing my Switch right now because the other Switch is, I like that I turned one on my mic is, my other Switch is like right there. I have too many Switches. We have three Switches in this house. The other day, this is a fun story. Instead of our Nerd Fact of the Week, I'll tell a fun story. I were playing Smash, and I was upset because Maxwell had been borrowing my DSs, because he's like, I can't find mine. I was like, Maxwell, you can play Smash with me and Matt when you find all the DSs in the house. And he walks away, and Matt goes, how many Nintendo DS do you have in your house that this is, like, a challenge? And, like, he walks back, hands me one of mine, my DS XL. Leaves, comes back, hands me my 2DS. Leaves, comes back, hands me his 2DS. And Matt Kling goes, that was more DS than I expected to appear in this conversation.
That's a lot of DS's.
What, I like handheld gaming, man. Like, handheld gaming is my favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. How was, I talked a little bit with Maxwell while he was in the room before the show. How was your last weekend at Crown 3?
It was really fun. I had a total blast at Crown 3. It was an experience from start to finish. Got my first game win in a super major. Didn't get my first match win, but was should have. I really let my mental fall apart. It was a total blast. A lot of moments for improvement. Got to get crushed on coverage for thousands and thousands of people to see. It was a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. You know, we're talking all this about gaming, about handhelds. And I got equipment in front of me for this episode, Patty. We got show notes that are like this. This might be one of our longer episodes because today we're talking about value in gaming. We hinted at that at the end of the last episode, that we would be kind of just, you know, really diving in deep into things you can do to get the most out of the most bang for your buck. I think that the best place to start in gaming right now when it comes to value is subscription models, because, you know, despite the like Google Stadia fallout, they were on to the future of gaming, and to pretend that they weren't I think is a little naive as far as like what gaming could look like in the future and what we're trying to get out of gaming in the future. And the three major console companies being Xbox, Nintendo, and PlayStation all have a subscription. And I kind of like to go over them really quickly and talk about how much value I think they have, how much value Patty thinks they have, and kind of what you get. So I'd like to start with Game Pass. And the reason I like to start with Game Pass is because it is an insane library. So there's a lot, and there are differences in kind of like what you can buy. Right now, the options for Game Pass are for whether it's PC or whether it is console only, you have an option to get Game Pass for $10 a month. Similar to like your Netflix subscription, similar to things like that. $9.99, hundreds of games, whether it's on your PC or your Xbox. You get Riot games as well. You get Xbox Studio same day release games. And one of the things that like they really are hammering home as we're actually recording this, I think tomorrow is the Xbox games like showcase. Like they're showcasing like their games that are coming out, and then they're doing like a big Starfield showcase. And Game Pass actually includes if I understand correctly, they are really pushing Game Pass to include like all their first-party games, same day as release. So if you just want to play digitally, Game Pass is a way to do it. It's gonna, and right now that hasn't been a thing, but as of the time of recording, we might, that might change tomorrow. Then you have Game Pass Ultimate that lets you get both. Like, it does a lot. It gives you PC and Xbox and console and cloud for $15 a month. So for $5 more, you get both plus cloud gaming. This is a pretty low price point for how much stuff is on it. Patty, as somebody that doesn't use this, what are your thoughts on, like, the price, the model, the backlog? Like, where is your head at?
Yeah, so that for someone like me who has played a lot of like older games and loves like classic Xbox 360 Xbox games, it seems like it would be a really good fit to play some of those, because some of the physical copies, we've kind of seen it with like Pokemon and stuff, right? How these older games and like the Star Wars games have really increased in price of their like old physical copies, which isn't something that like we're kind of used to. I'm kind of used to, rather. You know, you used to be able to go find old games at GameStop in the bins, right? And you could find some good stuff in there for value. But it seems like a new way to do that with the subscription model. I do like that. It looks like with the Game Pass, you do get gold included, right? So you don't have to as well do, you know, the monthly subscription for that.
Yeah, and what's so funny, just to jump on there, is like, if you really like a game and it's like leaving Game Pass, it's usually on sale on gold, so you can just buy it for like really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think gold lets you buy a game a month for at like X percent off or something. So I don't remember the specifics of it, but yeah, you get Xbox Live Gold specifically included with that. That's a good call out, Patty B.
Yeah. So, and that seems pretty standard in looking at all these different like monthly subscription options, like the online services included with the gaming package.
Yeah, so the next one, really quickly, kind of to talk about, is the Nintendo Switch one. And people hated this service for a long time, Patty B. A long time. One, because it was $20 a year just to play online. And two...
A year or a month?
$20. It's $20 a year if you pay for the whole year.
Oh, got it. Okay.
That's the base one. That comes with online play. Well, I'll just tell you what it comes with right now, because I think that's more important. We can talk... Well, let's actually do it the family way, because I think that is... Mm-hmm. For a lot of Nintendo owners... You might have, like, your kids have a Switch Lite, you have a Switch, and they're, so, well, I don't know, how do you want to talk about this? Do you want to talk about individuals or family pricing?
Family pricing is probably good, just because even if, like, you and your partner each have a device,
right,
the family option is going to be
The family option is still you. Cheaper. So, like, yeah. Just for me and Devonair to do Nintendo Switch Online, it is $34.99 a year for just the two of us, just for the Nintendo Switch Online. Now, Devonair doesn't get the Nintendo Switch Online Plus, so we actually don't have a family account. But that's something that, like, kind of looking at this, we might be able to switch to, because it is $80 total a year for the Nintendo Switch expansion. That include, and I'll tell you what each includes. So just the basics includes online play, Nintendo Switch Online, like the NES system, the Super Nintendo, the Game Boy, Cloud Save, some special offers, and the online app, which nobody uses, so don't worry about that. If you go for the $80 a year, so more than twice as much, but it comes with quite a few things. One, it comes with Nintendo 64, which banger after banger after banger on there. Game Boy Advance, which will include so many amazing games by the end of its lifespan. Like, some of the very, very best games will be on that Game Boy Advance by the end of its lifespan. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course, Animal Crossing DLC, the Splatoon 2 Octo Expansion, the Sega Genesis Nintendo Switch Online is also included. And both of those in the family plan have a maximum of 8 accounts. So it's quite a bit. Honestly, when Patty B gets a Switch, let's share a family account. Let's go, baby. But even thinking about that, like $80 a year for all of that, it's way less games than Game Pass. And you have to, like, I think that there are certain things you have to own to make the Nintendo expansion plus, like, worth it. And I think that's important to note. One, I think that you have to really be a Nintendo fan. Like, because Nintendo exclusives are so different, like, the Nintendo 64 is so different than the other things. And the Game Boy Advance, like, you have to really have the nostalgia for a lot of these things. However, the Nintendo 64 and Game Boy Advance onlines both have online play. So, like, you can play with your friends on these console, on these virtual consoles. But $80 a year, what does that come out to, Patty B? It's, like, way less than the other stuff, right? It's, like...
Yeah, it's, like, roughly a little, like, under $8 a month. It's like $6.50, something like that.
Yeah, it is $6.60 a month for if you get the, and that's the family deal, right? And just for comparison, it's $50
year. That's family plus.
That's family plus. The, yeah,
plus expansion.
And it's $50 if you're not doing family for that bundle, which, you know, that comes out to, like, you know, very little, right? Like that.
Yeah, just a couple bucks, a few bucks a month.
And I think the Nintendo Switch Online got a really bad rap for its value for a long time before they announced the N64, the Game Boy, and the Game Boy Advance all at once, right?
Sure.
I haven't even played the entire Nintendo Switch Online library at this point now. I haven't tried every game. There are lots of games that I haven't tried that I need to get into. And there are some bangers on there. Like, even if you're just getting the Nintendo Switch Online one, like, I think Wario World 3 is considered, like, one of the best... like, platformers ever, and it's a Game Boy exclusive. So, like, there's tons of stuff. And they have Game Boy Color games included on the Game Boy, too, so it's not, like, exclusive to the Game Boy. And the Game Boy Color, obviously, is, you know, one of the best handheld systems of all time.
How's the Pokemon offering on that? With the, like,
that's not true.
None?
It's not none. Pokemon Stadium just released.
Okay.
And it does have, I do believe it has online play. Pokemon Puzzle League is also on the 64. But as far as, like, Pokemon Red, Yellow, Gold, Red...
Those kind of games, yeah.
Those are not on there. So the thing to think about here, this is actually a really good question, Patty B. The difference between a Nintendo exclusive and a Pokemon Company game are different things, right?
Right.
Because while the Nintendo owns Pokemon Company... and it is a Nintendo exclusive, they're not, it's not this, like, they still have to get licensing from the Pokemon Company to put it on the system.
Right.
One thing to think about here, though, is, like, I think that a lot of people owned their Game Boy or their Game Boy Advance specifically to play Pokemon, and the systems are a lot more than that. My hope for the future of these catalogs is that they continue to grow. The subscription gets to the level of something like Xbox, right? But even then, like, my son and I have been playing nonstop Star Fox 64 the last few weeks, just on the Nintendo. Like, it's one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's one of the best games ever made as far as, like, an arcade game. I don't know. What are your thoughts on... on that? Is there a game that would sway you if it was on there?
Maybe, like, some offerings, maybe not, like, all of them, but, like, maybe have, like, Yellow or just Gold, or, like, maybe, like, one or two offerings from the Pokemon Company, or even Something I kind of thought of was like maybe have a Pokemon package, right? Where like you pay more for this premium Pokemon package. You know, alliteration aside, that would, you know, that would be a cool thing. Cause you're right. So like some people just play, you know, their Nintendo was Pokemon. Now Stadium is a great offering, right?
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Oh, I missed Pokemon Snap. That game is also fire. Pokemon Snap is also on there. That game is on there. Okay. And that game is total fire.
For sure. Yeah. Just, yeah, maybe some offering. Maybe just, like, not, like, the most recent, you know, like, Sword and Shield. Just some variant where you can play, you know, a classic-style Pokemon game.
It would be cool if they, like, did all the third games. Like, if they had, like, Yellow, Crystal, Emerald...
Mm. Yeah.
That would be sick.
Not the main release one, yeah, but the one that always came out after. Yeah, that'd be sick.
I just want to highlight really quickly, like, just how good the games are on this. I'm just going to read off some of, like, the MVPs. So, Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island are both on there.
Wow.
We've got... Super Mario All-Stars on the SNES, Mario and Luigi's All-Star or Superstars, Super Metroid is on there. Like some of the greatest games of all, A Link to the Past, Banjo-Kazooie, which by the way, all the Banjo games are on Xbox too. So that is, you know, a little bit of a boom. Paper Mario 64 is like one of the best games, one of the best RPGs ever made. Majora's Mask, Pokemon Snap, Mario Kart 64, like they are really good games. I think the first couple Donkey Kongs are on there. Like the games are like, you know, some of the all-time best Nintendo exclusives, but it is a lot less games than you get with something like the other stuff, and it's probably why it's so much cheaper.
Gotcha.
Let's talk about PlayStation. Okay. Let's talk about PlayStation Premium really quick. I'm not gonna lie. I'm looking at this, and I am not a PlayStation owner. I'm a little confused. I can't find the price, Betty.
I've got it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So, found it. Now, granted, the fact that it's like not really, it's so the PS Premium. Which is really what you'd want to get with the PlayStation, is they've got a few different tiers. So yeah, the PlayStation Plus Extra, they have the PlayStation Premium. The Premium, it breaks down to, for the United States, you can do $17.99 a month, $50 for a quarter, or pay the $120 for a year service. So like they've got it structured where... It's the same price as Game Pass.
At the quarterly mark, right?
At the quarterly or...
It's more expensive monthly.
For the year.
It's cheaper yearly. Well, yeah. If you're doing Ultimate... I guess that's such a weird thing to say, though. Because, like, Ultimate gives you like console and PC... It's never cheaper than if you just own a console.
Gotcha. Okay. And maybe that's the difference is because like Xbox is Microsoft and you know they have the PC aspect.
Right.
That there's that maybe that difference. But the $120 a year, it's you get all the Uncharted games.
No. That is the price of just one of them. Assassin's Creed. That's the same price as just having a console.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's pretty comparable. I'm just looking here at the game catalog as well. It does include we'll touch a little bit more on that. The premium you do get all the games, you do get the cloud streaming access. And then it looks like they have time trials as well, so that you can try select games before they come out and see if you like want to to purchase them. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, kind of looking
Pretty standard stuff.
Kind of looking at the catalog, it looks pretty big. You know, a lot of the same stuff that you might find on Game Pass with a couple Xbox exclusives. It actually looks quite a bit smaller. I wish I had a PlayStation so that I could like talk about this a little bit better. You know, you see things like I'll give you an example of something that's on PlayStation Premium that I think is like really sick. Like Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is like it's one of my favorite games I play on my Xbox. That being on there, I don't know if that game is on Game Pass. That's a cool get. Like there are going to be things I think different depending on the service that you want, and the console that you have. But it is interesting to kind of see the differences here. Dragon Ball FighterZ, for example, I think that is on Game Pass. So like you get some that are shared. I think that there's a couple things. One, the fact that this is the price of Ultimate, and I can't go from my phone to my computer to my Xbox like I can with Xbox is a little weird to me. And maybe that gets fixed in some way. Like maybe they have a phone app that's so good and a web app or a like another app on your computer that lets you boot up PlayStation, that it gets the same thing. I personally don't have a PlayStation Plus or a PlayStation, but I have talked to people about the service and they've done a lot of improvements the last little while. They increased the library. They have done more on their cloud gaming software. I've never tried it, so I don't want to dog it. I don't want to talk it up. I don't want to talk it down. I can only repeat what I've heard, and that if you could only pick one for a subscription model, you should pick Xbox.
Yeah, I'd say that as far as just the gaming catalog, it's not as robust, right? But it's there are still a ton of great games on PlayStation Plus. So if you have that console,
looks like all the Assassin's Creeds are on there. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about cloud gaming. We've already mentioned it a couple of times. And as far as like getting the bang for your buck, I think cloud gaming does a lot to let you game in really interesting ways. And so I kind of just, I'll try not to be too visual, but so for the Xbox, because that's what I have the most experience, and as well as Steam, the most experience that I have with cloud gaming is with cloud gaming from Xbox, and it's really easy. If you have a Android device, it's super easy because you can just download an app for Xbox, and that's it. You're done. For the iPhone, because you know iPhone and Apple and Microsoft don't get along very well, there's still a way to do it. You set the web app to be an application on your screen. You launch it launches it as an app, and you're good to go. You just have it just takes an extra step. Now the Xbox Cloud Gaming as part of the very original beta, it's still in beta. When I first got into it, this wasn't even available on the iPhone. The only reason I switched back to iPhone when I did is because my family begged me to, and they finally launched this on the iPhone. But like, I'll just kind of talk about my experience and some of the options. So when I was on my Pixel, there are a couple options that you can do. One of the very cheapest things that you can do to make sure your cloud gaming experience is really good, super high, like really easy value, is if you already own an Xbox, you already own a PlayStation, one of the things you can do is you can just buy a controller clip that I have one somewhere, but my daughter's been playing with it, so I can't show it on the video. Basically, it's just a clip that clips onto your controller, and it has a snappable thing that holds your phone, and you just literally play your phone with a controller attached to it. The other options are these. So right here, I have the Razer Kishi, and I have the Backbone. This is an Xbox-specific Razer. This was what I used when I was on my Pixel. It's super compact, super easy to use. And the only problem that I have with this device is the triggers. They're kind of, you can feel the springs. But other than that, like Patty B and I were talking before the show, one of the really cool things about both these devices is it's got a, they both have their charging ports, and they charge your phone, like you can charge your phone while using them, even though they take up that charging slot. It's really nice. Both of them really easy to just throw in your bag. And if you're an Xbox player like me, it means that like, I think I played my Backbone while we were in San Diego, right? Like I just pulled it out.
Yep.
And I think I was playing Jedi Fallen Order or something in bed, even though I didn't have my Xbox with me, right?
Right.
And it's super convenient. Xbox has done a lot of work. You drop a lot of frames on different games depending on what's going on. But as far as like just getting a gaming experience on the go, it's really awesome. And, you know, one of the things that the Switch has that these other things don't have is like it doesn't have that problem. Like you can just take your Switch anywhere. But as far as like, you know, the Xbox has worked on like only allowing touch on games with good touch controls. It has allowed for different things. But, you know, both of these, you got different price points for them. But like if you're going to do cloud gaming, I highly recommend a controller. And one of the really cool things about this that we haven't talked about yet is actually will come up when it comes to Steam, because Steam will also recognize these controllers if you use something like Steam Link or things like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
The other thing I would say about cloud streaming is like it is most of them are still like in their early phases. But if cloud streaming is offered on your service, I think it has high value. You know, PlayStation is making a run at this with their new device that's pretty expensive. I hope that people don't buy it so that they do something like an app instead. But yeah, I think that like the reason that Google Stadia failed was not because the idea was bad, but, you know, because the execution was bad. I think cloud gaming is actually like really high value. As far as like getting the most out of your subscription service, the most out of your games, things like that. You have any thoughts on cloud gaming, Patty?
It seems like it's a really cool. You'd really need to make sure that you have a stable, internet connection, right? Like to really get the most out of it and try and drop the fewest frames. But this is something that like has been unheard of, right? Like. You used to have to like pack up your whole console and bring it over to wherever you were going to be able to game on the go. And the fact that, you know, not mobile games, you can play real, console games on your phone through the cloud. It's an awesome development and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. I wish we had like Amazon links for these, but I really do recommend picking up a controller, and let's get into why. Let's talk about Steam. I'm going to switch up the show notes a little bit. I want to talk about Steam Link first, because, you know, so much of value, it's not just about, like, you know, how much you're spending and what you're getting, but it's about, like, your use of time, right? And Steam Link is another one where, like, I'm a mobile gamer, Patty B. I don't know about you, but, like, connecting this to my iPhone, opening up Steam Link, and getting to play my Steam games on my phone, even like in bed while my wife is watching TV, like she's watching Grey's Anatomy and I'm playing Valheim or I'm playing, RetroArch and emulating games that I totally did not illegally download. Like I think it's a huge value. And obviously, like, you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network. Like, it's just, like, literally emulating from another room. But I think that's huge. You know? I think there's a reason that the the Steam Deck just sold out so fast, was so successful as a handheld, and it's because people just want to be able to play their Steam games in handheld mode away from their desktop, right? And I think that Steam Link, if you've never used it before, it works really well. Actually, before Magic the Gathering had a before Magic the Gathering Arena had a mobile app, I actually played Magic the Gathering on Steam Link by mirroring my desktop and then just loading up Arena onto Steam Link. Like, it has a lot of uses. It's as far as like just free apps to like both mirror your PC and like, you know, play your Steam games on, it is insane value.
Yeah, that's really cool. Especially now that like they have it for Mac too. So that's good.
Let's talk about sales though. Steam sales are crazy, dude. You can get games for like $3. And, you know, it's hard. Wild. I wish that I was better at doing this, because I think that like my Steam library is pretty small, but I know people that like will get in Steam sales, they'll know when the Steam sales are, and they'll just buy everything. And their Steam library gets massive and really cool. You know, making things like Steam Link or the Steam Deck just this really high value option in gaming. I know that are you an Epic Games guy?
I have used Epic. It's the one that works better with the MacBook, I found. So it's like some games are available, some games aren't, but that's kind of the life you live with Apple.
Yeah. How do you usually like go about, like, if you are gonna find a sale on something like Epic or Steam, how do you usually go about finding those?
Well, it sends me all these notifications all the time, right? Their main page is really good for that. They have, you know, select titles up to 75%. There's always something on sale, pretty crazy. Like, for example, like right now, you can get one of the favorite games that we've talked about, the base game for Red Dead 2, for like $20, $19.79 on Epic.
What? So that's a good deal.
That's a good deal. Like, for example, like Spider-Man's Miles Morales, something we've wanted to look at playing, is like on sale for $33 right now. Like, I might just pick it up. that's an insane deal. You know, you have all the free stuff on there too. We talked about doing stuff like Fall Guys or maybe something like Rocket League.
You know, that's actually a good point. Something that we haven't talked about yet is like the free games on a lot of these services. And like, you know, you think about the value you get of something like the Switch has like things like Ninjala, which is like a free version of like Splatoon or stuff like that. You've got things like, you know, you just mentioned a really good one in, what did you just, said?
Rocket League?
Rocket League is a really good example. Minecraft is like free on basically all of these devices. There's so many really good free games that have endless value on them.
100%. And that's a way, especially where you're like I think Fall Guys is free too. Like that was really cool. Obviously that you can upgrade and do some of the cool other things, but there's a lot of those libraries. So Steam, Epic. I think I mentioned Epic just because like when I got the Mac, it was like what Arena wanted to use to launch.
Yeah.
So I just have seen that a lot more. My wife plays a lot of Fortnite, and so obviously it's an Epic Games product. So there are lots of great libraries Fortnite out there that you can find free. So,
let's kind of wrap this up with some of the other like monetary value stuff. GameStop membership. I know people hate GameStop. If you like buying physical copies of games like I do, I think the GameStop membership is super worth it. Patty B has seen my gross number of video. I have multiple cabinets full of physical copies. Patty, do you have too many physical copies of games?
I'm gonna play the fifth.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Besides, like, you know, six of them at your house anyway, so I got plenty of room now.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think that, like, if you like physical copies of games, the GameStop membership is really good. You get tons of coupons. Your points add up really fast. It is certainly worth it for...
It's super cheap, too, right? It's, like, $15 for the whole year. And then I just noticed this, too. Like, the monthly pro reward...
It's $5 off a game.
Yeah. An item of your choice, right? For example, on their website, they've got some Pokemon cards there, right? So if you, like, are buying a $10 game or, like, a couple packs of Pokemon cards, you just get free value.
I think it's totally free. It is totally worth it if you're a gamer to get the GameStop membership. And I know people, like, don't want to hear that because, like, GameStop has, like, a negative vibe around it because of all the years that they, you know, because of their trade-in value. But, like, it really is a high-value play. I haven't played full price for a physical copy of a game in years because of GameStop. And, yeah, I think it's great value. Before we move on, because there's one more thing I want to mention on game stores for value. If you have a retro game store that is not ridiculous and not ripping people off, like, you know, they're not DK oldies, you should 100% support them just for the value of having those type of places around and making sure that those type of places exist to continue reselling, refurbishing, doing the good things, not the bad things that DK oldies does. Anti-DK oldies podcast here, by the way. What a ridiculous business model, and they're the worst. Just, you know, support those type of things. It's high value both in the fact that we're getting a service that you would never get otherwise, and then also, you know, the preservation of these type of things is also high value. Let's move on to our last segment. We're going to talk about hardware, consoles, and accessories. I'm going to rattle these off. There are cheaper versions of all the major consoles that we talked about. You got the Switch Lite for your Switch if you don't care about... If you only want to play in handheld mode, Switch Lite is what my wife has. She plays a ton. She's probably played more Splatoon than I have on that thing. Just lays in bed, gets to play all of her games. It's really awesome. It's super high value to get a Switch if you only care about playing in handheld mode. The battery life is great. It's smaller. There's a ton of value. Any thoughts on the Switch Lite?
It's good if you have tiny hands.
There you go. We'll talk about some ways to
it's,
fix
it's,
that
it's
too.
Good. It's the same, if you, especially if you do these, some of those like Game Pass style, subscription services, like, and you don't care about having it, like, docked and up on the TV, or as, like, a second one. Like, say, like, I have a Switch, and my partner, you know, my wife has the Lite that works because, you know, one of us can get it up on the screen.
Yeah.
So it's a good way as a second console, too.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think they come in at like $200. You can buy them like used for like $150 too. They're pretty cheap. Xbox Series S. I think is the best deal in all of gaming. For as far as like a console goes. I don't know if you can see it on the screen. Like, I obviously have an Xbox Series X behind me. That's because my wife did not listen to me. Not because I didn't care. Like, so much of your Xbox gameplay at this point is going to be Game Pass. And maybe that changes in the future. If you don't own a ton of... you don't own a ton of physical backwards compatible games. Like, if you're, like, just getting into Xbox, you should just buy a Series S. What did you looked up the price point? These are like $250. They're like literally cheaper than a Switch. You get
It's probably the best value.
It is crazy. You get an Xbox, like the new gen Xbox. It has upscaling to 4K. So while it isn't actually 4K, you probably won't notice the difference because your eyes are not as cool as you think they are. If you get, I think it comes with Game Pass for Game Pass Ultimate for like a year or something when you buy it. Like it is the best value in gaming, and it's not close. It's insane. And then the PlayStation 5 no disc, I was looking this up, and it's hard for me to know. So here's the thing. I totally get that we've entered a streaming era of stuff, but there's so much that's not on streaming services. One of the reasons that I'm really glad that I have this Xbox and instead of the other one in this room is that I don't need a Blu-ray player. I know that sounds weird. You're like, why does that matter, Spencer? You're such a boomer. But like, no, it, straight up, my son is getting into Zoids right now. Zoids is on zero streaming services. So for his birthday, I plan on buying him Zoids Blu-ray collections. And the only way for us to watch that is on the Blu-ray stuff. And there's just like, yes, we are in the era of streaming stuff, but if you want to watch something specific and you need a Blu-ray copy of it, or you already own a Blu-ray collectioner, things like that, like having the disc is important. And I think pretending like it's not is a weird. That being said, I don't think that the price difference on the PlayStation no disc is even close to what's happening on the Xbox. There's a reason for that. You're getting the same SSD, you're getting the same graphics, you're getting like all the same hardware other than the disc drive. So,
yeah.
If you don't care about having the disc, yeah, by all means get the PlayStation no disc, right? Like that's just cheaper. But I do think that there is, I think that maybe as a total millennial that there is inherent value still in having a disc drive.
Yeah, there's resale, right? Like say that you're ever done with a game, you know, you can, if you've preserved it well, you can resell it.
Yeah.
You're right. There's not everything is on a streaming platform. And so like I have a DVD collection. There's something to be said about like visually. It's almost like having a bookshelf where like you can put up your games and it's like part of your home decoration.
I wish that PlayStation had done what, like, if PlayStation did what Xbox did, and they gave me, like, a downscaled version of this so that I could play next-gen, like, PlayStation, I would buy one. I just straight up would buy one.
That tracks. And, yeah, because there's no visual difference, it's the same size, like, all the stats and stuff are the same. It really is, like, do you care about having a $100 Blu-ray player? And, you know, being able to buy physical copies of the game.
Yeah.
And so for $100 for me, that's worth it to have that. Well, access.
It just depends, but right? I can see. One of the things that's interesting is like, let me say it this way. If I was like brand new, I was just getting into next gen consoles and let's say I wanted all three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I wanted all three of the major consoles right now. I would go with, and I didn't have anything before this. And I just somehow had the money to do all this. I would go Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5 with disc, and I'd probably go, I don't know if I'd go Switch Redbox or Switch OLED, but like I would want to be able to dock my Switch. It's really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that means that like of the hardware deals, we've already said it, the Xbox Series X is like, or S, sorry.
You mean S? Yeah. Yeah, the S. That's what I was gonna check there.
Xbox Series
if
S.
If you have access to the disc version of the PlayStation,
right?
You save more on the S version of your Xbox,
right?
And then you know the Switch, you do what you want to with docking.
Yep.
So,
let's talk about third party stuff as we wrap up. There are a few things that are really easy to call out, and I have hardware to show. The first is Ibiddu. One of the things that has become really expensive in the gaming market is controllers. Like, ridiculously expensive. You can spend $200 on a controller. And Patty B, my wife says I have a problem with controllers. Like, you agree. I can tell by your face that you also think I have a problem with controllers. How many controllers?
I didn't say that.
How many controllers are on my desk right now? I only have one controller on my desk right now, if you don't include the...
I think we asked that the other time when we were talking, like, Star Wars gaming. What was the count? I think you had, like, six?
I had six.
Yeah?
Okay. I don't have six anymore. I have one controller on my desk now. And then it's... I have to give this company a shout-out. Not sponsored. Hashtag would love to be sponsored by UA, but do. Straight up... Just will
we take, will shout from the rooftops.
Yeah, straight up would take the sponsorship. The controller in my hand is the 8-bit do. I just want to get the name right. Ultimate controller, and I have the charging dock version. There's literally only one thing wrong with this controller, and it's the rumble. Because it doesn't have HD rumble as normal rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, this is my favorite controller I own. That is big words for me. I'm a Xbox controller stan. Like, I think the Xbox controller is the best controller ever made. I think for its price point, for what you get out of it, this is the best controller. I use this for 2D games. I use this for 3D games. I use this for Xbox on my PC. I use this. I use this on my Switch. Like, it's so cool. It has a little switch on the back, so it has this 2.4 hertz thing that I just plug into my computer, so that for my computer it's on 2.4, so it's even faster. On my Switch, I just switch it to Bluetooth, connect it via Bluetooth. I use this controller for everything, Patty B. And this is only one of the controllers on 8BitDo. You also have been using an 8BitDo controller recently.
I have.
And you love it?
I love it. It's really great. And looking at their, like, I pulled up their website because we put in the link for the show notes. And there are so many options that they have. It's crazy. Like, how many different types of controllers and different button configurations that they offer. It's super, you can basically do anything.
Yeah, they easily make the best third-party controllers. One of the things we talked about, right, like, was the... were you going to say something?
No.
I was going to say, like, I talked about using this for my Xbox, right? There is literally, you can buy an Xbox-exclusive 8BitDo controller for your... for Android. So let's say if you have an Android phone that comes with a clip. It comes with the clip. So you don't even need to buy one of these. Can you guess the price?
And what is the clip normally, right? Like, what
it's
is it like?
It's like 11
30,
bucks.
40 bucks?
No, that's not 11. Okay. It's pretty cheap.
Oh, okay.
But it comes with the controller. Can you guess? Can you press the price of that controller, though? You get a full controller.
Well, I'm going to go $45.
It is $40. And
okay.
Listen to this. This will work on your iPhone, your iPad, Mac OS, Apple TV, Android tablet, Android, any mobile, Xbox, and all of Xbox Cloud Gaming for $40. And it is literally their most popular controller, just as an Xbox exclusive. And that is the... Man, I should pull this up. The SM30 Pro controller, which is their one of their most popular controllers. It's basically just an SNES controller that has the sticks. That's all it is. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
So. Yeah. So people like me who like the PlayStation controller for like size and those who have enjoyed retro gaming with the classic Super Nintendo controller, they have options for, which is sweet.
Yeah, the one that Patty B's been using is the 8BitDo Pro 2 for what it's worth. And before the Ultimate came out, like that was my favorite third party controller. It's got macro buttons on the back. It's got the same thing where like, and all of these, by the way, come with software. Like you can like remap your controllers. You can do so much with these. So like as far as controllers go,
they're cheap. And they don't have just to be clear. So like, they don't have one that is compatible for both PlayStation and Xbox. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this is actually an important note. I don't even think they have one that's compatible with the Xbox. And I can say why. The Xbox Bluetooth doesn't work the same way as other Bluetooths. They have wired Xbox controllers that you can plug into your Xbox that are like way, way, way cheaper. But if you like look on the Xbox specific controllers, I believe all of them are wired. It looks like the arcade stick is not, which is a new one that just came out for the Xbox. I am not sure how they did that, but there are wired versions of all of these controllers for the Xbox specifically. It's like you can get the Pro 2 wired, for the Xbox, and it's substantially cheaper than like any other controller, if that's what you're into. But the Bluetooth for the Xbox specifically does not work as the same way as the Bluetooth for the PlayStation and the Switch. It is a different frequency, I guess.
Got it. Okay.
That is also why if you buy the one that's for your Android or your iPhone, that it also doesn't work with your Xbox.
Got it. Okay. So that is something to like, it would be really cool if they had one that was like, I know like if you find a controller that you like and you have both Xbox and PlayStation, except that's been a, something that people do, it would be really cool to have a product that went between Xbox and PlayStation.
There is an item that does what you're saying. It's called the Genki, I believe. And it is a Bluetooth adapter that you can plug into. Oh, you know what? That might only work for the Switch. I will say, though, if this worked for my Xbox, I would use this over my Xbox controller.
Yeah, for sure.
Next, really high value thing to talk about. This is more Switch specific, but it does have other stuff. Is Skull & Co. They have the Skull & Co. dock that also, if you're a Mac user, actually comes with a little adapter that you can just plug into your Mac. If you have like a 2018 or 2020 MacBook, where they only have USB ports. You use the jump gate on that. Really high value dock. I have two of them in my house. I have one for the TV that's sitting right here. I actually have one sitting behind me that you can see on the video that's next to the other dock, but I switched it up the other day. It is a $20 dock, super compact, throws in your backpack. This is what we used when we were in San Diego to play Switch. Really super cheap dock, super awesome. The other thing that you can get on these that are really high value are the grips. You can choose your grip colors. You can choose your things like that for the Switch. As far as like gaming accessories go, I highly recommend Skull & Co. Patty B, you've only used the dock. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it looks like they have a lot of really cool Switch products. And so, I mean, for handheld gamers, you can get some good value. If something has a third-party service or like third-party options, that's a way to get value in your accessories. And
yeah. It's also because of the way that the USB-C works, like as long as you use a Nintendo charger or one that works the same way as a Nintendo brick, it won't brick your Switch like other third-party docks. I've had zero problems. I've been using this for years. So if that's something you're worried about, which a lot of people had in the past, you don't need to. And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about is Etsy. If you're looking for accessories for Nintendo Switch, for Xbox or PlayStation, or even like, you know, clips for your desk, for your controller, or things like, Etsy is a great place to get value in gaming. People are solving problems with their 3D printers in real ways on Etsy. And I really want to call that out.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then Etsy, it's a lot of, if you're looking for value, because a lot of people, you know, want to build up a stream room, right? Or like have a room where they game. There's some really cool, like, just looking, I searched Nintendo. There's some really cool things that you can do with, you know, your decoration accessories, right? Like there's some cool neon signs that are pretty affordable, like wall plaques. And I saw one that like caught my eye was the, like, if you love Mario, there's a plant stand dock, right? That looks like the plants from Mario. That's really cool. So lots of options and fun stuff there. On a third party marketplace.
Penny B, I gotta ask you, as somebody that is constantly looking for value, is there something that you learned this week that you're more interested in than you were before this podcast?
Yeah, so I mean, you've kind of sold me on the Game Pass, right, for Xbox. I think if I can't figure out like the solution for unlocking my one account, I'll just like cancel that service and just start Game Pass, so I can play some of these games on like a different Microsoft account.
Game Pass is crazy. If you like, what's really cool too is like most of the games, if they're not exclusive to Xbox Series X or S, you can still play them on your Xbox One, which is really cool. So I almost thought that I sold you on an Xbox Series X.
That too. Yeah, that would be a really good new console. I still think I am going to whether it's on like through Steam, right? Like, or like how I saw that Miles Morales was only $30 this week on Epic, to, you know, try and play some of those next gen games on something or through something like Steam or Epic. Nice. As a way to access those new,
yeah, I might buy
new games.
I might buy Spider-Man on. I didn't know Spider-Man was on Steam or Epic. I might take the same approach. Well, that is going to do it for this week's show. You know, we're not sponsored by any of this stuff. You know, I just want to say, like, if you're a PlayStation fan, there's options to like get those exclusives that you really want to play. If you're an Xbox fan, there's tons of things to do, tons of ways to play. If you're a PC fan, you know, you've got tons of ways to consume. And then if you're a Nintendo fan, I hope we either sold you on something to try something new, or, you know, whatever. I think that subscription services are a way of the future. I think that, you know, you had so many bad things about like third-party controllers and things like that in the past where they didn't work as well, they weren't as good. And I hope that, you know, Ape of Doom is something that I can happily recommend. I hope we helped you a little bit as a listener, you know, just get a little bit more value out of all of the things that you're doing. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. If you want to suggest a topic, things that you want us to talk about, head on over to the comments on YouTube. Leave a comment with a suggestion. Yeah, type it up. Let us know. Patty B, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at PattyBMTG. I talk nerd stuff and lots of magic stuff. We're recording today because I do want to apologize for a bit of the delay. We've had really busy lives the last few weekends. We started to a recording schedule that switched to like weekends, but we'll get settled down and find a way to make it work and continue to bring you awesome content.
Yeah, I usually don't have a problem with Sunday mornings, but you know, sometimes we got to adjust and.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at Spencer13H. You can find me every week on CCMTG, a constructive podcast about Magic the Gathering, about improving. Every month on Smash Through, a podcast about improving at Smash Bros. Here on the same YouTube channel that you're watching here. If you're watching, like, sub, subscribe. Well, that's the same thing. And a review really does help the show out. Petty B, what are we talking about next week? Haha, he doesn't know.
Aha! I'm opening up Discord. schedule. Let's see here. So, It's not on there. It's not on the schedule. Worst. That's okay.
I can find it, though.
Yeah, it might have been like a message or a text thing.
Hold on. I want to say it on the show. I think it's important. It's important.
It is important. Oh, it's in the show ideas section, not the schedule.
That's
fine. Portion of the Discord. That's okay. Dragon Prince Season 3!
That's awesome. This is something that my son has been begging me to watch with him. I'm really excited to dive into Dragon Prince again. It is Patty B's introduction back into animation, and I think you've been enjoying it so far.
I have, yeah. I finished Season 2 of My Hero as well, so I'll get onto to this, and I'm going to keep going. Diving in. I have a little bit more time. I'm going back to school, working part-time now at a card shop. So I have a little bit more time to do
this stuff.
Sit down and watch a show. Yeah, so.
I mean, you can also just bring your laptop and sort and grade cards with some of these shows on, so.
That's also true. That's going to be a way that I especially can burn through some of these animes. Well, I've normally been listening to like podcasts and stuff, but that's a good way to do it.
All right, we'll see everybody next week with another episode of the Need to Nerd Pod. What?